Red Film Radio.
Red Film Radio.
Interview.
Interview.
Please welcome to the show director Susan Sandler and the protagonist of her film, Julia Scotty, Funny That Way, stand-up comedian and transgender woman, Julia Scotty. Susan, Julia, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Thank you. Hi, Matt.
Lovely to be with you.
It's a real pleasure to meet you. I'm so happy to be talking with you. I watched your film. You know, we're going to be talking about it now. Funny That Way. But first of all, I just kind of wanted to get to know you a little bit and just introduce you to our listeners a little bit. Julia, let's start off with you. And I just wanted to know a little bit about your love of comedy. And where do you reckon it originated from?
It goes back to when I was about 7 years old. Excuse me. My father was a very funny man, but I was enamored with Abbott and Costello because they were both from New Jersey. And I kind of identified with Lou Costello because he was kind of a sad clown. And I felt that way. I came from an unhappy childhood, you know, and so it really was Lou Costello that got me inspired. And then I just, you know, when I realized I could make people laugh and be accepted for that, it, you know, the good feeling that I got inside, well, that was all she wrote. I just, it was, you know, freewheeling from that point on.
Yeah. And so it was a little bit also acceptance that led you to actually be on the stage and just doing your stand-up comedy.
I think for all performers, we, you know, especially comedians, we look for a place to belong. We're kind of misfits in society. And when we're on stage, and every comic will tell you this, it's the only time they feel truly alive and truly belonging. And it's a weird kind of way to live your life, but it's very fulfilling too.
And Susan, is it true that this is your directorial debut?
It is my directorial debut, yes, it is.
After writing and doing other things within the sector, this is actually your directorial debut.
Yes, I've been working exclusively as a playwright and screenwriter, and this is the first time I've stepped behind the camera as a director and in documentary. So it's, you know, it's all very fresh, very new, and at the same time, you know, storytelling is storytelling, and that's what guided me, is the sense of what good structure is and what strong characters are and what complex stories want to be. And Julia's story offered me all of that, you know.
Yeah. How did you guys meet, by the way?
Go ahead, Susan. Do you tell
them? We met at a performance of Julia's on Nantucket, which is a great place for lots of culture, including a film festival and a comedy festival. And she was performing on a bill that a friend of mine had produced. And I fell madly in love. I always hang out with all the comedians who come to perform through this particular program. And we just connected very powerfully. And I thought that we wanted to work together. There was just something that came out of that conversation that night. So we started working on a one-woman show, a theater piece that Julia had mentioned she was going to try to start to develop. And I started to work with her, just putting the pieces together and asking about research. And the more I dug into the story and the more I understood there was this wealth of archival material that traced her evolution, it just, you know, the headline was, "This is a documentary." And all of my intuition, all of my nerve endings just said, this is where I want to go. And Julia very wonderfully trusted me to go on that journey, which has been 5 years in the making now.
And Julia, what did you kind of think about this whole idea of a documentary about your life?
To be honest with you, as a comedian, we were always getting people saying, well, I'm going to do this for, I'm going to do that for. I didn't think it would ever get off the ground. But then again, I didn't know Susan that well, and I quickly found out that whatever she says she's going to do, she does. And so the more I thought about it, I said, you know, I might have, if I can help people with my story, then let's do it. You know, it couldn't hurt.
But was it difficult to kind of open up like that? I mean, you know, you do that in your comedy quite a bit, about your journey, becoming a transgender woman, but, mm-hmm. But also, I mean, in front of the camera, maybe it's just a little, it's a little different, I guess.
It was a decision. I made a conscious decision that I was going to be truthful with her and not hold anything back, even if it was uncomfortable. And so I think I was true to that, and I gave her all the archival stuff I had, and some of it surprised her, but it really surprised me. So, you know, I trusted her. That was a big thing, you know, that I knew she wasn't going to harm me.
Yes, I'm thinking as well that in some scenes in the film, you kind of revisit parts of your life that you had almost forgotten. I'm thinking of the part where you're watching your previous stand-up comedy. And I wondered about that. I mean, what was it like to revisit those parts where you were, you know, you were making jokes that obviously you wouldn't agree with anymore, for sure.
You saw my reaction. It was, for those who haven't seen the movie, I was doing some stuff about giving mouth-to-mouth resuscitation to a guy. And
Julie, I think he's also talking about the transphobic section, the Geraldo Rivera section.
Oh yeah, that too. And I was dealing with my own sexuality at that point. I was having issues. And so I reacted by, you know, going the opposite way and trying to be super macho. But seeing it in retrospect with my son, it was horrific. It was horrifying. I really, I can't apologize for it because, you know, I'm sorry about it, but it was truth and it went in the movie and, you know, that's the way it is.
Was it difficult to get your kids involved in this project?
Ooh, yes and no. We were just at the point where we were starting to reconcile, especially with my son. I'm a lot closer with my son than I probably am with my daughter. But I was hesitant to ask them. And I completely left it up to them. And so whatever you see in the movie was by their own choice. I did not pressure them.
Hmm. And Susan, did you have any idea of where the film would go? I mean, some sort of a structure in your head?
Oh, yes. You know, which all went out the window, of course. You know, I mean, that's the nature of the nature of documentary. You in Indie Doc, you know, you write hundreds of proposals and pitch and have a sense of what you think the story map is going to be. But life is life and surprises and twists and turns and messy things happen. And I had imagined a third act of the film that I budgeted very specifically for this epic, almost comedy special. I was thinking about the film as a hybrid documentary comedy special, and that was the language I was using early on in pitching it. And the third act culminated with this, I thought it was going to be a 3-day shoot of this spectacular comedy special at which all of these ghosts from Julia's life would show up. Ex-wives and all kinds of characters and, you know, the world of the stage and the world of her personal history would all meld and, you know, it of course is now nightmarish for Julia to conceive of that and for me too. So, you know, when I look back at my journal and the notes of, you know, what the early outlines look like, you know, you look for a shape, you look for a kind of, you know, a climax and you build it from what you think you're going to find. But then joyfully and sometimes dramatically, you follow a story that takes you on a very unexpected place. And, that's what happened with us. I mean, very unexpected path.
Mm-hmm. One of the central moments in the film as well that we should mention, I think, is Julia's your appearance on America's Got Talent. Can you just sort of explain the importance and significance of this moment?
There were several levels of importance. One was that it was finally a break for me as a comedian to do major network television and to do it 3 times and get that kind of exposure. On another level, coming out as trans to the country, and as I found out later, to the world, was important to me because I felt like if I could show other trans folks that there is light at the end of the tunnel, that once you're done here, you can move on. You can not only survive this, but you can thrive. Then I thought that was important. And historically speaking, I think the latter, you know, the effect on trans folks was the more important of the two things.
Julia, when you did come out as trans, did you find that the comedy scene itself was accepting? Because you do speak of the life as a traveling stand-up comedian as being quite tough.
Well, it's a tough life under the best of circumstances, you know. It was a tough life as a cis guy, too. But what I decided when I came back, there were only two criteria I had. One was to be truthful, and the other was to be fearless. And I felt like if I couldn't do that, then I was not going to continue doing stand-up. And I think I've been sort of faithful to those two principles. And my feeling is if you don't like me because I'm trans, then change the channel.
And what about when you did start doing it? I mean, what were your audiences like and what was the reaction like?
There were, it was much better after America's Got Talent, I can tell you that much. There was never any hostility. Mostly what it was people confused. I mean, I remember the first time I said it on stage, there was dead silence because nobody believed me. And I had to, you know, impress upon them, no, this is actually true. And there have been along the way some people who didn't understand it, religious people, and I've had to sort of school them on it. Not that I changed their mind, but we peacefully coexist now, you know. Mm. But there are hostile people out there, as we know, and I don't, if they are feeling that way about me, I don't see them at my shows.
And Susan, you mentioned that you are interested in powerful, colorful, interesting characters. But is there something about Julia's journey that you could personally identify with that also contributed to encouraging you to make the documentary?
I think, you know, everything that I saw from the very first performance of Julia's and then in our conversations spoke to me very, very much about resilience and a sense of newness in the work of every single day. And those are pieces that I try to feel every day in my life. And I feel, you know, very, very drawn to. And I just, you know, on a purely intuitive level, I just really love the honesty and the integrity of the way she takes her life experiences and turns them into stories that matter and stories that entertain. And I think that's an unbeatable combination, you know, to be able to give people the rich entertainment and to give them something really great to chew on at the same time. I think that's a rare and wonderful thing. And I admire and I'm drawn to those kinds of characters, those kinds of stories, those kinds of artists. And I just felt very much at home with her and in collaboration with her. And that's the journey that we've been on with great harmony.
And can I ask you a little bit about the animation sequences? I thought they were really interesting.
Yes. I worked with an animator named Sam Roth, who's a very gifted young animator. I teach at NYU Tisch School of the Arts, and I teach filmmaking and screenwriting there. And through that wonderful world of artists, I met a lot of alumni, and Sam is one of them, who was introduced to me by some of my colleagues. And the idea that we would find sections of Julia's storytelling that wanted to be animated felt, you know, really organic to the story. And I started working early on with Sam exploring pieces that I thought had that ability. The opening section of the film, where we have Julia reading from a wonderful autobiographical piece that I hope will get published, with the release of the film, also lent itself to a really interesting animated sections that we know, of course, we cut with archival material. So there was just so much about her storytelling that pointed the way to animation. And I was very, very much in love with Sam's work, and his voice on the page felt very, very much in tune with what we were doing.
Oh, it sounds like from what some of the things that you were saying there that this could be, the film could be sort of a starting point for other projects. You mentioned the book there as well, and
yes,
other things perhaps as well in the works.
Well, I think, you know, one of my big wishes out of this project is that for Julia and her career, that we will help to launch her as the actress that I know her to be, beyond her wonderful work as a comedian and writer. I think she's just enormously castable, and I'd love to see lots of people getting to know her through this film and those doors opening up for her. The book that I mentioned is a manuscript that she shared with me that is a autobiographical, wonderful piece that I hope we'll be able to, You, Julia, will be able to bring to publishers, and I will certainly support that work.
Well, that's to be determined. I hope you're right, though. But the acting part, I am really, this year I did a little bit of acting for the first time, and I really, really enjoyed it. And I'd like to start being included on casting lists, you know, when somebody says, a casting director says, get me a Margot Martindale type, that they think, you know, they put me on that list, or a Diane Wiest type, or a Cameron Mannheim. I mean, I'd like to be included with cisgender actresses too.
Yeah. Do you think inclusion is a big issue?
I absolutely think it's a big issue. I mean, you know, it's, look, nobody has a problem, or nobody used to have a problem with a cis woman playing a trans woman. You know, it is now, obviously. But, you know, by the same token, I can play a cis woman, And I think I would just like to be included in those lists when they do it. You know, if a Jennifer Coolidge, for instance, you know, they want that type, I could do that. A Doris Roberts, I could do that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. Julia, have you seen the film? What do you think of it? Is it easy to watch for you being the protagonist?
Okay. Well, again, there's two answers to that question. I don't like to see myself on screen. Ever, for anything. Having said that, I have seen the film in several iterations, including the final, and she did a magnificent job, I thought. She never disappointed me, never hurt my feelings. Everything was treated with respect and love, and I thank her for that.
Why don't you like seeing yourself on screen?
Can you tell me one actor who likes to see themselves on screen, or a comedian? Is there anyone like that?
I don't know. I don't like to look at myself on any screen. I can't stand to look at myself in photographs either.
Well, there you go.
I guess I do understand.
Yes. Yes.
So,
yes.
Where are people going to be able to watch this film? What are the plans in terms of exhibition, distribution, and all that?
We're in the same wonderful COVID place that everyone is in, trying to, you know, navigate our festival circuit, and happily I'm in conversation with a wonderful distributor now. I can't announce that yet, but that will be down the road very soon.
And actually, seeing as you mentioned the COVID times, this is something that I've sort of been asking some of the creative people that I've been interviewing over these past few months, is how do you find that it's affecting your creativity, your creative output, the times that we're living in? Are you experimenting with new technologies? I mean, how are you living through these times?
Well, you know, the moment that we were poised to start our festival circuit, and you can understand how much of a party I was hoping and planning for touring with Julia, doing stand-up along with the screenings of the film. That was the path we were on. And being able to offer festivals a combination of this film and Julia's live performance was a really just a great, delicious package. So looking at this big basket of DCPs and suddenly having to pivot, as everyone is, to a virtual experience is challenging. You know, it is challenging, but meeting our audiences in Zoom sessions. And, I think the film is finding a place right now that is very welcoming for people because it is so, it's Julia, what I keep hearing from, you know, a lot of the reviews we're getting and a lot of the feedback, that in the film they're meeting a character that everybody wants to hang out with. One critic said, you know, he wanted to invite her out to a diner. I mean, you know, the idea that, you know, this is a film that you really want to spend time with a central character. This is an emotionally rich journey, but it's emotionally rewarding and funny and moving and all of those pieces. I think there's a real place for that in this particular moment that we're in. So the flip side of the disappointment that we felt in not being able to travel to in-place festivals is that I think people want this film in their lives now, and I think that's part of the atmosphere that we're experiencing all around.
Julia, how are you living through these times? How much do you miss the live audience experience too?
Because I mean, I guess you have no idea, Matt. From a bread and butter standpoint, it's killing all my colleagues and myself because we're not making a living. But more than that, the audiences are that's our food, that's our air, that's our our life's blood. It's what keeps our hearts pumping, and to not have that is cruel. And I know there are people that are worse off from COVID than, a bunch of comics who aren't working, but every single day we miss it. We miss it.
It was a great pleasure talking with you, Julia and Susan. Thank you very much for joining us. I wish you all the best.
Thanks so much. Man.
Lovely meeting you.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.